Banta with Tony and Mimi, a cross-generational conversation between a millennial.
From now on, you'll refer to me as Antonia Leangine.
Oh my gosh.
And a Gen Zer.
This podcast is very much fun. I don't want to leave, but I have to because America makes me work.
America.
Kick back and enjoy as we laugh, feel, and heal.
Welcome to another episode of Banta with Tony and
Mimi.
Thank you for listening to us today. So
yes,
Mimi,
yes.
What do we have off our sleeves for this episode?
First, we're going to delve into our pop culture moment. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to be diving into some topics about womanhood with Tony and Mimi. And we're going to like talk, you know, from our perspectives and, you know, open up to each other and to you guys. Mm-hmm. And we're going to banter and banta.
Oh, nice.
So, yes.
Okay, the ta and the er.
Ta-er.
The ta-er.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so pop culture, what is your story you want to bring to
what do I gotta first?
The podcast today? Because you're leading this episode, so leaders lead.
Pop culture, you know what? I don't even have one because I have not been on my phone.
Okay, that's good.
I deleted social media, actually. Well, my Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat, I deleted them.
Wow.
For like a week. Well, it was not a week. Let me stop. It was like 4 days because I was like, my head was just too, it was just too much. Mm-hmm. And then I did get them back, but it's, I don't find myself mindlessly scrolling.
Exactly.
So yeah, I took a brain break, guys. I did a social media detox.
I think it's necessary.
Because if anything, like I was thinking about this earlier, but then I saw a video. I didn't delete TikTok though. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
TikTok is too good.
Even when I did my detox, I don't delete anything. I just remove the app from my phone. So, like, I still have an Instagram account.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, me
I
too.
I still have a Facebook account.
Just deleted
it's just not on my phone, so I'm not accessing it. I'm not active on it.
And I looked at my screen time. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. It was bad. And so I was like, uh-uh. So I did, like, an IRL in real life challenge. I just I really wanted to just ground myself in my life because social media and all that stuff is not real. Exactly. Like, that is a virtual, like, reality.
Social place.
It's like, a social place.
You can't be at the bar all day, every day. So you can't be on social media all day, every day.
And when you meet someone, you're not meeting their Instagram page. You're not. You can't see their feed. You're meeting them as a person.
Exactly.
And then also, like, it was distracting me from, like, my
life. You have things going on.
Mm-hmm.
That was the same reason why I did it, too. I think I was just like, okay, I have all these projects coming on. And then life was a little bit, like, stressful for me. So I was like, okay, I bet you there are hours in my day that are just, like, sipping through because I'm just on here scrolling.
Yeah.
So at first, I actually deleted all the apps, including TikTok. Mm-hmm. And then when we went to the Burna Boy concert, that's actually when I put TikTok back on my phone. Because I was like, how can I go see Burna Boy and not post?
I'm about to say, like, how am I going to see Burna Boy and not say anything? I'm not about to keep it from the world, but...
I was confined because of you. Yes.
It was a really good concert.
Yes, that was a really, really good concert. Mm-hmm. The only thing is he disrespected us with those jeans and white beater.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Okay, she has a really big problem with what he wore.
Yes.
It's not that I didn't care, but it wasn't that bad.
Because he has the drip in other stuff. Have you seen him in his videos? Like,
there's
another time, like, he was just rehearsing for a show and he had on, like, a Louis Vuitton tracksuit. So how are you going to have a Louis Vuitton tracksuit when you're rehearsing for the show? And then at the actual show, you're wearing some jeans and white beater. And then Uncle was saying that because, you know, it's, like, that theme of the album. Like, even on his album cover,
he's
wearing, like, jeans with, like, no shirt, really.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I didn't think about it like that. But I'm like, no, Beyonce charged a lot of money for her concert. But the fashion was a big part of it.
Like, yeah.
Maybe Beyonce has spoiled us.
It was dang near the show.
But I'm like, I need you to come through. There are some African designers, male designers. I don't know, wear that same Louis Vuitton tracksuit, something.
Like, he dressed great for all the other shows before. And I'm looking at the shows that he's done since Houston. I don't know why he did that to us, but.
Yeah, Bernard, come on, tell us the story. You lose your clothes? Did somebody not deliver what they were supposed to deliver?
Did
a Houston designer not come through for you? Something.
Yeah.
Or did you just not care? Either way,
but
tell
either
us.
Way, I didn't
but
really
please,
care.
I cared.
She cared bad. She still
dressed up. You know, his dreads are always tidy, so that was good. But maybe
he always has a retwist.
Like mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if I'm paying to come see you at a show, I'm going to need you to be put together because
true,
I'm giving
you
my coins. And I dressed up to come to your show.
Mm-hmm.
The insult.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how much I dressed up to?
She looked good. She looked good.
Uh-huh.
She looked good.
Went shopping, did my hair, put on makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am dressing to go to your show, I need you to also dress up your show.
To perform for me.
Period. Full stop.
Point blank.
Full stop.
Stop sign.
Well, I guess that's kind of your thing,
mm-hmm.
is that you're not on social media, so that's your
I don't
culture.
Even know. Well, if anything, Nicki Minaj dropped a new album, Pink Friday 2. Not the grunt slash sigh.
I mean, Pink Friday, the original was good.
Was good, and it would never be topped. Hashtag.
Did Jay-Z ever come out with a blueprint too? I'm really genuinely asking because I don't know. Because I feel like when you have something
that's been great. Oh, you don't like that she did the two?
Yeah. Like, it took me years to understand why there was never a second Lauryn Hill album. Because I was pissed off for the longest time. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, when you have something that ends up being such a big part of culture and it's so monumental, you actually want to leave it unadulterated.
Yeah, by itself.
So, Pink Friday, she was killing it. And that was a different time in her life. So I feel like if she's coming out with a Pink Friday 2, then to me, that means that there's a part of her that maybe is insecure about where she's at now. And she feels like, oh, let me go back. And it's like, there's no going back. Like, where is Nicki today? And you could have probably named it something else and let it reflect everything else that you're going through now. So again, I'm just speaking from not even hearing the album yet, but just the fact that I feel like she was going back to, like, in my opinion, her best album in her catalog.
Yeah.
I was like, are you kind of reaching
the biggest for? One.
Yeah, exactly.
If anything, I just think that this is her last album, y'all. Even in her interviews and also for the rollout for this album, she did 73 questions with Vogue. She did Vogue, like, going through her best looks throughout her career. She's been out and she's been doing interviews and stuff. And she keeps talking about full circle-ness or whole circle-ness. And coming to, like, you know, it's the end of the circle. And I'm like, okay, I think she's just doing this because, like, this is her last album.
I don't think so.
Really? I don't think she'll stop making music.
First of all, she's not, like, that old to be saying this is her last album.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So I don't think it's her last album. I think what she's saying is the feeling, who she was when that first Pink Friday album came out, she wants to go back to the source. And I agree, because I really feel like we do have a lot of female rappers now than we've ever had. But true, I need people that. With substance. True, I think that's that. Why I love Lola Brooke so much. She's, like, what, 4'5"? She's a tiny human being. But when she steps on that mic, her lyricism, I love it. Like, the New York grit of it. And
don't
I think...
with it, don't play with it.
Yeah.
Come on, maybe don't play with it.
And I feel like maybe that's what Nicki's trying to go back to, like that same grit that she had before, that then she decided to trade it over for this poppy sound. I mean, as a musician, yes, you should expand, but I feel like there was a time in her career she was going more for commercialism and not just the substance. And so I think part of her going back to saying I'm having Pink Friday 2 is like for her to get back to that grittiness, the substance, the rawness. And I feel like you can still do that, but just name it something new. I mean, she calls her baby Pooh Bear, doesn't she?
Papa Bear.
So she could have called it Papa Bear's mom. I don't know.
Girl.
I'm not on your team.
What?
Papa's mom. I don't know.
She would have been clocked for that. No. She would have been dragged.
But I'm just saying, whatever represents where she's at now. She should have named it that and let it have an identity of its own, because technically now you're tying it to that. You're trying to say, okay, I'm going back to how I was because I realized that this is what people liked about me. And part of growth is saying, this is where I am now. I know this is where I came from. And there are parts of my past that I can bring to my future, but it's not giving me that feeling of you trying to just go back and recopy whatever it is that you had. Like, we've moved forward.
That's true.
Backward Never. What was the name of that movie with Patience Ozukwo? That's where I got that from.
Backward Never.
Yeah, it's an old Nollywood movie. She's like, this family, forward ever, backward never.
That's a good saying, though, because it's true. I was listening to a couple of the songs with my friends. They don't even sound like old Nicki. And I think I get what you mean and get where you're coming from. She called it that to, like, give the essence of Pink Friday. But when you listen to it, it was not giving Pink Friday.
Yes, that's why I needed to, like, have its own title.
Like, girl, I just think, like, she can never do that again. But it's not even in a negative light.
Yeah, it's
either,
just when something
Pink
was
Friday.
Good, it was good. Mm-hmm. Let it stand on its own and be what it was going to be.
And it was monumental.
Exactly.
Pink Friday was.
Like, and give her her flowers when it comes to that
Onika
album.
Tanya.
Nobody could touch Onika on that album. It's going to go down in hip-hop history, regardless of male or female, as one of the greatest ones. So just when you have something that's great, you don't see somebody going back over the Mona Lisa and saying, oh, let's paint white and make it a second
Mona Lisa too.
A masterpiece is a masterpiece. You leave it alone. Like, so it's her having confidence too in what she has put out. Like, this was it.
Okay.
So my pop culture moment, I had so many. I was like, what? But
spill.
If I'm going to pick one that I think will be good for this discussion and show, it will be the T.I. and his son video. Now, it's a little bit lag because I know that came out last week. But that has been, like, on my mind. First, I heard about the video. Like, I read an article describing the video. And then, like, maybe 4 days later is when I actually watched the video myself.
Oh, really?
Because I was like, what? I thought, based off of what I read, I thought, like, he was fighting somebody and his dad was saying, you're embarrassing your family. Like, stop that. And then when I watched the video, I was like, oh, he was fighting his family.
He was fighting moms and pops.
And his dad said, stop that. You're embarrassing the family. So... for me, after I watched it, I think, first of all, every family is different. Like, my family,
very true.
I would never even, like,
to think of doing something in public.
Yeah, like to get to the point where, like, where I'm even trying to fight my dad.
Yeah, we would never do that.
We would never. You will get your butt handed to you. Even if they're saying outrageous things to you or whatever, you probably keep quiet, whatever it is. But
Never mind.
You ain't gonna fight nobody in your family in public.
Wait, no, that's not what I was trying to say.
Oh, I thought, I was like, huh? What'd you? Oh.
No.
So yeah, that part for me, I had to get over first. And then like he was calling his son the N-word. And I was like, whoa. Also, might be very old school of me, but I'm like, where are we at that we're referring to our children as the N-word? And then even as a child too, referring to your... Well, he didn't say the N-word to us, his dad, actually. In the video, he asked his mom, why would you let somebody disrespect me like that? So he referred to his dad as somebody. Mm. And then his dad was just like, you know, and like, I was like, did he just call his son? Oh, Lord, I had to take a breath for that one. But essentially, I feel like the family was embarrassing him. And we've all been there sometimes. Well, I shouldn't say we all. Some people, I guess, have normal families and normal behavior. But
yeah.
People have been there where, like, somebody's saying some things. And it's going to be somebody close to you that's meant to, like, just kind of stand up, paint a picture. Like, they'll be like, oh, people don't know the true thing of what's going on. And let me tell y'all, the reason why he liked going over to his grandmother's house is because he was sucking his past. I feel like that's what triggered everything.
Yeah, most definitely. Because why would you say that in the first place? Because that, though?
His mom.
Girl.
So that's really what started everything.
Why are you bringing that up?
Because T.I. kept saying, oh, he wasn't like really gangster. Like he doesn't really know what it's like to, you know.
Wait, but why are you having that argument with your child, though?
And then
that's your child.
Was like, let me tell y'all the reason why he liked going over there is because.
Oh, wow. You know, that's really embarrassing. He was on live.
He had a pacifier till he was 12.
Oh. Yeah. That's so not.
Even though I have a lot of issues with what the young man has done in the press, I feel like they triggered him. And so then that was the result of him being triggered.
You can't poke a bear and not expect to get clawed. Well, not even like expect to get clawed, but you can't say, why would you say that? He was on live and you guys were in public. And it's your son. And if anything, why are you having the conversation now?
To be honest, and I feel like a lot of African or maybe black, I will just speak from a family that because we're black and African, I do feel like sometimes some African families tend to do that.
In public?
It is a form of bullying. Yeah. What I'm saying, like giving you the tea on the person, like, oh, you don't really know her anyway. I know she thinks she cute right now, but you know, she peed the bed till she was 13.
That's like, wait, I genuinely cannot fathom that because we would never,
the parents,
you know, like us in our family. That's why it's so hard for me. Yes, it happens in our African community, but it's not something in my general environment. So like,
so first of all, they have to ask themselves why you're that comfortable you sharing.
Humiliating.
It doesn't matter if you guys have been on a TV show. I could care less. You guys could have had 500 episodes. We could have seen you poop on the TV or something. But still, that's his personal business that you are now saying in a very casual manner. And regardless of how long you guys have been on TV, did he want the whole world knowing that he sucked on a passage?
Oh, that's just really bad. Yeah.
Exactly.
Why would you say that?
So I've seen so many videos like, oh, he's so ungrateful. He's so this. I'm like, well, we always have to look at the source of something. You know, it could have been family banter back and forth. Like, you don't know what rough life is. Yes, I do, Dad. Da, da, da. And we could have all laughed about it. Like, oh, here goes this little boy thinking he knows what a rough life is. Once his mom shared that piece of personal information, I feel like that's what triggered him. So Tiny holding herself accountable and going back to her son and saying, I'm sorry for trying to embarrass you in the middle of trying to prove a point because that wasn't necessary. And I feel like that will take care probably of a lot of the strife there because it'll be like, okay, I'm sorry for trying to fight you. I'm sorry for trying to fight Dad. I'm not saying what he did was trying to fight his parents was right, but let's look at the source. And I feel like that was the source. So that's my little two cents. And then I read somewhere he's telling people that he's not going to do an interview about it unless they pay him $10,000. I'm like, boy, go sit down.
All right, bro.
We already got the video. We don't need you explaining the video that we saw for ourselves.
Like, I know what happened.
So I'm like, little boy, sit down. It's okay. We don't need to do all that. Sit down, young man. When somebody's disciplining, when
don't
you say young man,
you know they mean my seat.
Beyonce came out with that song, but we're going to need it to breathe a little bit.
Why? That was good.
Yeah, it's 2-for-1.
I just crashed my car listening to that.
Oh, wow.
I'm not kidding.
Don't tell me that.
Yeah, I know. But it's like, it's Beyonce.
Well, I was in bed pretending to be twerking in bed. So I'm
oh.
When it got to the get the by my house part.
Get the by my house.
Yeah.
Get the.
Don't you feel like it was a 2-for-1?
I feel like it was like it was basically two songs.
Beyonce's album and Renaissance mixed together.
Most of it. Yeah, with the house at the end.
My house is Renaissance. And then Homecoming was the first part. And then Renaissance was the second part.
Yeah, because she was dipping into
Homecoming Renaissance.
Yeah.
It was a perfect combination.
Homecoming and Renaissance. And I like when she does
the drum line.
The drum line, like
the
kind of concept.
Because that's what also like the HBCU, like the fraternities, when they would do like, so that backup, the backup of them. Yeah.
Yeah. When she did that, all that.
So all of good. That. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can see this playing at HBCU events.
Oh my gosh. And yeah, a lot of people were saying when it came out, they wanted to be like at their football games and
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. So she made another one for the culture.
Go black people.
So I guess we covered two pop culture things. Somehow we got Beyonce song up in here.
Oh, we're always going to get and Beyonce then, up in here.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
okay, Giselle, do you hear this?
Yes, Giselle, pull through.
I guess that's our thing. We're going to be calling people's government's names yes, up ma'am. In this podcast.
Well, yes. All right. So now time to dive into womanhood. Mm-hmm. And today I picked this topic because my auntie right here, Miss Antonia, is someone that I feel like these conversations I was like always not waiting to have, but I knew when I was growing, like growing into a woman and having this new approach to life, she is someone that I was always going to come to. So I picked this topic today about womanhood. And also because, you know, just for us to open this box together and kind of like, you know, just talk to one another about it, but then also be aware to each other's worlds. So we can start with the first question that I had. I wrote some questions down. Well, we could say, what is your current stamp statement on what being a woman is for you? Like for you, especially for you, like personally, what does it mean to you to be like a woman? What is your womanhood at the moment?
Okay. So womanhood for me, at the core of me, I've always been a nurturer. So that's the first thing. Is nurturing the people around me, nurturing the people connected to me. So my children, my husband, you guys, you know, as an extended family that's attached to me. So nurturing the people around me. I think as I've gotten older, I've understood that what it meant to be a strong woman has changed for me. I used to think being a woman that was quote unquote strong meant that I could handle everything and do everything. And I think over the last couple of years, life has forced me to learn that I don't need to do everything to still be a powerful woman. I don't need to be the savior of everybody in my life to still be a powerful woman. And understanding that my strength is something that comes from within, that's not necessarily just attached to my ability to do certain things or to be strong and not showing emotion. So based off of how I was raised, the things I saw, that's what I equated womanhood to. And for me, being a strong woman was something that was very important to me. So it's like that woman that can handle anything and everything. And I still feel like at the center of me, I'm still that, but I'm understanding that it's not a badge of honor to put everybody else before yourself. It's not a badge of honor to run yourself to the ground in the name of you being a strong woman. It's not a badge of honor to have boundaries, to say, I'm not going to do this, and this is how it's going to be. And if you're going to be in my life, then we do it. If not, peace out.
Peace out. Deuces.
Yeah. So I think it has definitely evolved, but at the core of it, the nurturer, I want to bring out the best for myself first, right? Because you always have to start from yourself first. You can't give to others what you don't give to yourself. So nurturing myself, all the different parts of me, the little girl that's in there, attending to her when she needs the attention, the woman that I am today, challenging myself when I need to be challenged, but always trying to give myself the best and bringing the best out of myself. And then I do that for others.
Beautiful. Yeah, and I would say, like, I agree and see a lot of my carbulies in what you just said. Being 18 and, like, understanding that it's very true that you genuinely cannot do for others what you can do for yourself. Like, it's a very hard thing to do. And at one point in my life, I found it to be, like, almost impossible, like, you know, that you pour into other people and you have nothing for yourself. Like, you're going to dry out. You're going to become, like, a desert. And if anything, it'll show up to the people you just poured into when you have nothing else to give. So that's one thing. And I feel like,
and they don't really want it, to be honest. Because when you're given so much, you're more stressed. So I find that there was a time I was probably yelling at my kids more, doing this stuff. So yeah, I'm quote unquote doing a lot of things for them. But because I'm so frazzled and I'm so stressed, I'm snapping at them more. So I don't know how they would have received it, but they probably were like, okay, we'd rather you not make us breakfast every night, every morning, and do all these things.
It's true, yeah.
Be at peace than you waking up to make the breakfast breakfast, but then you're snapping at us and you're doing like, yeah.
It's a detriment to you.
Exactly.
It's very true. And yeah, personally for me, one thing that I feel like is going to be a common theme in my life for a while is like my identity. I feel like when I do things or go about situations and truly act out of like instinct or pure intentions for myself and what core morals mean for me, I always try to make sure that when I walk into a room, it is me, and it's me, and it's who I am. And when I do that, it's very beneficial for myself and everyone in the room. Mm-hmm. Not out of like a conceited or cocky standpoint either. Mm-mm. It's just like when you see, yeah. And I feel like when you see that, when you see someone being authentically themselves, it makes like other people want to be authentically mm-hmm. themselves.
Well, the people who are at a good place in their own lives, the people who are in touch with who they are. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, I see her being herself. It gives me freedom to be myself. And then the ones who haven't reached that part of their journey yet, all they're going to do is like be envious or jealous or be like, oh, she thinks she's better than me. Oh, who she thinks she is. She and like, honey, when you work on yourself and discover your voice and
you
yourself,
won't be hating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Only one of us has $12 worth of jewelry.
No.
When you work on yourself.
No. Exactly. Like, and
it's from within. Yeah,
literally,
out.
It's from within. Mm-hmm.
What was one thing, or is one thing that you feel like for you, once you did that action or accomplished that goal, mm-hmm. for you, it meant that okay, I'm in my womanhood phase now.
Oh, my womanhood phase.
Like, I am now a woman because I've done it. For some people, they see that as getting married or having kids.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Maybe my, like, career. I don't know why I say that. But it's like when I get to a point where I am... Oh, wait.
Okay. I'm going to help you out a little bit.
Yeah, please help me.
In this world a little bit longer.
A little. Yeah, just a little. Just a tad bit.
I used to subscribe to the idea like an event makes you a woman, but it's a never-ending journey. So as you're even going through the transition into womanhood, if you're engrossed into that transition, if you're engrossed into the moment of you living through those things, you don't even realize it that it's happening. Mm-hmm. Only when you look back, you'll be like, oh, that was some grown woman moment, or that was some grown woman stuff.
Well,
that
I'm only 18.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm trying to help you. I think back in the day, or at least I'll speak for myself, I used to think when I get married, when I have a job, when I get my first apartment, like the Sex and the City life was something I envisioned for myself. Going to New York and one day when I live in the high-rise apartment and I have a doorman and I'm just living my fabulous life, like this is woman. When I have my first pair of Manolo Blahniks, this is woman.
Low-key, that's me. When I have my first apartment, when I have my high-rise loft apartment.
Ooh, and I'm through high-rise.
And yes, coming home from my shopping
with
spree.
With the window as a wall.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When I come home from my shopping spree, when I just hit the mall and get myself like a nice lunch and I come home to my puppy.
She wants to be a lady who lunches.
Yes, ma'am. Take myself out on lunch. And I come home to my puppies. I go and answer some business emails and, you know, answer a few calls, check up on my family.
So when you're like, I'm a grown woman.
That's when I feel like I'll be like, oh, wow, this is a grown woman.
So what I'm telling you is... it will happen slowly. Mm-hmm. So it's not just going to be, I woke up this morning and all of a sudden
things
happening. Yeah. It'll be like your life gradually changes. Like, you have that first apartment that might not be great, but then as you're building your career, then you get to, you know, your high-rise apartment. All those little things. Like, at first you couldn't afford to be a lady who lunches, but eventually you get there. Mm-hmm. It'll just be one day you will look at yourself and be like, oh, that which I envisioned I'm here now. Yeah. But it's not like an event that happens that you're like, oh, I am woman now.
Most definitely.
Womanhood has come to, like, and our parents' generation and the ones before us, we had different markers in our societies, right? I don't know if you knew about like the circumcision. There are things that will happen that obviously we don't do those anymore. But part of that was to signify that this person is now a woman.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like in our cultures, not all
I've
of them.
I've heard of them though.
Mm-hmm, the women will get circumcised. And part of why that ceremony was happening was to signify that like now she's a woman. Obviously, it is horrendous. Very a lot of places don't practice it anymore. No. And those who still do, we're trying to educate them on not to do it anymore.
Yeah.
But I'll see our mother's generation and those before us too, it'll probably be the same thing. Like when I get married, I'm a woman. When I, you know, for a lot of cultures, like when they start their period, like once I'm capable of bearing children, I am now a woman. So it's different for everybody. But for me, I think once I realized that, like, it's a never ending thing. And I think I've been more free now in this phase of my life to realize that my definition of womanhood is going to change as I go through the different stages of life. Mm-hmm. So right now, womanhood is a nurturer for me because I have children. But once my kids are off, will the nurturing part still be there? Yeah, it probably will be. But maybe there'll be something else that takes precedent over it, because I'm not necessarily nurturing people day to day in my life anymore as much as I used to.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's my little tip to you.
Thank you. I feel like since I've moved here, to answer your question, it's like I've started to feel more like a woman. I've started to feel like I'm bearing way more things, and not in a negative way, but I'm doing things for myself. To me, when I know I can do something for myself and not like in a way where just independent all the time and I need to do something for myself, stand on myself, alone and in a negative light. I don't want to be like that kind of independence. But independence to me is something that's very important. So when I know I can do something for myself, like y'all, my first car note's coming up. I'm finna pay my first car note by myself. Like, come on now. And so those moments, I'm looking back, I'm like, wow. Oh my gosh.
Like, who's paying this bill?
Yeah. I paid for my phlebotomy class all by myself. Oh my gosh. Who is this? And I'm about to do it again. I'm about to pay for college. Oh my gosh. So it's like, okay, to answer your question, thanks for the help.
That's what it means for you right now at this phase in your life, for where you are at. It's that idea, like you're saying, the healthy independence. Yeah. You're learning that I can stand on my own. I can do things on my own. I just need to have the right support system, the people that believe in me. And then also amount of it coming from within yourself and saying, you know what, I can do this. And then once you build certain things, you get to a certain point in your life, then you open up your life to saying, okay, I'm going to share my life with somebody.
I can't wait.
A different phase. But for right now, it's about, man, am I getting these bills together, getting her education together.
Being
the beautifully and wonderfully made human being that God made you out to be.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Auntie.
Any other questions for me in this womanhood chat?
Yes. I want to talk about femininity. So I said, what has your experience with like your feminine side been, and how have you gone about like balancing your masculine and feminine? I asked that question because I feel like in our family, the women are very like, we take like very strong in our lives, right? You know, from you to mommy to grandma to great, it's always, I always hear like so many things about the woman in our family and the woman before me, and it's very important. But I feel like in every aspect, I hear them having to have done things, you know, take on the woman and the man role, be masculine for a lot of things and for a long time in different phases in life. You know what I mean? So that's why I ask you, now that, you know, knowing, you know, how you grew up in your childhood was, now as like, you know, at, you know, your age, what is it like for you now, and how have you navigated finding your feminine or balancing your feminine or just sitting in that and standing in?
That was a great question.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. As you're even asking it, I'm like, ooh, okay, there's so much knowledge I want to give to her.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
So when I was growing up, my best friend was a boy. My first big purchase given to me by my parents was a helicopter. I did not play with Barbie dolls until later on in my childhood. And I still remember, I think one of my uncles or something has a picture of like, I had a birthday cake that was a Barbie cake or something like that. So that part of it came later. And I think that was very important for me to know, because later on in my life, when certain things, I'll act a certain way or not understand women in a certain way, I'll be like, well, you know what? When I was little, I was kicking it with the boys. So I missed all these cues that girls will be, you know, having with each other. So later on in my later part of childhood is when I had female friends. So that, for me, I'm always like, you put me in a room, I'll probably try to go and be kicking it with the guys before I kick it with the girls. But obviously I'm at the point in my life now where I'm trying to challenge myself to make sure I develop those relationships and truly learn. And, you know, just like how uncle, my husband, has to learn about, you know, me as a woman, like I also will have to learn about the women in my life that I want to have as friends and all and learning how to navigate those relationships. So to answer your question there, I feel like I have masculine and feminine energy, but I think I am learning at this phase of my life when they are appropriate. So I'm not going to go into too much details, but the event that happened to me last weekend, I had to dip into my masculine energy for a little bit there, because I was like, okay, you mess with me, I'm going to mess with you right back. We're going to do this, and we're going to like bring the guns out.
She's about to rock him out, y'all.
Oh, Lord. Lord will forgive me. The Lord knows I'm working on myself. I am perfect. So, yeah, there'll be times when it comes out, or like times like when there's certain things I'm discussing with uncle that I'm just like, I'm not backing down. Like,
yeah,
so it'll come out. But knowing how to not stay there 24/7.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because we all have masculine and feminine energy, but sometimes the masculine outweighs the feminine, or the feminine outweighs the masculine.
So like, I didn't even recognize how much, like you're saying, our family history. That outside of me answering your question, that's what I wanted to get at the heart of. Sometimes when you're told those stories, so the same stories that you have been told, I have been told too when I was growing up, about the strong women in our family and the things that they've had to do and the things they've had to overcome. I mean, oral history is very important because that's also telling you who you are as you're developing as a woman. Because it's like, this is where I come from. These are the women that came before me. In some ways, they're indirectly also trying to tell me the type of woman that I need to be.
Yeah. And so, also the kind of traits that are instilled in
instilled
us, where
in
it
us.
All comes
yeah.
from.
So they're telling it to you. So because that was the narrative of the women in my life, women in my family, for me, I didn't even realize it, but I was living out those women's lives even when that wasn't my life.
Ooh.
True story. So here I was, I had a life partner, but I was still moving around like I'm a single woman trying to make things work.
Like she was a strong
Here woman. I was, you know, I'm married. Somebody's there to help me, to take care of my kids, to do all these things as he should as a partner. But it's like, there's a part of me that's just like, oh, I can do it all. I don't need. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, you have a husband that's going to pick up the kids, that's present, that wants to, and then you want to be married. I'm going to do it all. No, sit down somewhere. Like, but I had to realize, like, I was living the lives of the women around me because that's what they were required to do in their lives. And like, you know, my grandma, so your great grandmother played such a big role in the formation of my identity that, yeah, I was trying to be like her. But then I had to realize that Tony, she paved the path for you to now have what you have. So yes, the women in your life had had to go through it by themselves to some degree.
Yeah.
Grandma, she has a husband, but every generation has actually gotten better. And so you are at the point now where for the first time, the narrative is going to change because it's like, I have a partner and I'm doing this partnership thing. And it's no longer, oh my God, I'm doing it by myself because I'm the man, the woman, everything in my life. I'm doing it all.
Yeah.
And I just had to realize that. Like, I think that's an important piece of information to pass on to you. It's important to know your history.
Yeah.
But be very aware of your history not being part of your present in a way that it's not even applicable to your present. But you have now had that ingrained so much in your DNA that you're operating from the place of the women that came before you.
That's when
so when you brought that up, I was like, this is the lesson I need to teach her here.
Right here, right now.
Yeah, one day, God knows what he has in store for you, but you will find a life partner and you'll have somebody that you're going to share your life with. And what you will have to fight, like I have had to fight, or maybe you won't because I'm teaching you this now, is knowing the stories of the women before you that were there, but making sure their story does not necessarily become your story by default or by you just absorbing it. Like appreciating their story for what it
was. True, yeah.
And what they accomplished, but knowing that there's room for you to have a different narrative.
True. That was a great question and a great answer.
Yeah. So they had to be the strong black woman. But Antonia in 2023 does not have to be strong black woman 24/7.
24/7.
They did that and so I can have the freedom to not be.
And everything that they did, you know, yes, they were strong black women, but there's different ways to be a strong black woman 24/7, not in the ways of always doing everything or by yourself, especially.
And redefining strength.
Really, very much so, redefining
like,
strength.
When we think about it, it's like the person that lifts weights, right? You think they're strong or whatever, but you put something from their childhood in front of them and they're crying like a baby.
Ooh.
Like,
ooh.
So what does it mean to be strong? And
to
sometimes
me,
the things that we have deemed as weak are
as
actually
weak,
very
the
strong.
Strongest.
Like, for
I
somebody
think,
to,
yeah, vulnerability is the strongest thing.
Exactly.
Ever. For someone, like, lifting the weights, like, the guy who's lifting the weights grunting in his head saying, like, oh, this is heavy, I can't do this, like, but trying to put on a face that it's not heavy, is he struggling more than the guy that's trying to pick himself up and try to, you know, it's like, be, it's okay to have a heart. Like, you have a heart, use it before you die. Like, before you die, you need to use it. And I, like, come on now. And it's like, I don't know. And I also asked the question that I asked because when you said, like, you know, making sure that to understand your history and know where you come from, like, because, you know, I always see or hear all these stories about the women before me and watching my mom grow up and how she navigated a lot of our childhood. She had to do it alone when she was raising us and parenting us. And then I think, because it's like grandma, you know, had she had you had grandpa present in your life. You know, my cousins have their my uncle present in their life. We didn't really I didn't have my dad present in my life. So it's like I literally had to watch my mom be a man and a woman in certain like a, for a lot of our life, of my life. So knowing all these history, all these stories, and then also seeing it as I was raised realizing that they are strong women, they have to go through so much, but it hasn't always panned out great to always be
both
or just masculine all the time. Yeah. Because sometimes,
a lot of times, she has a single woman, she had to
be masculine, like a lot. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then I noticed myself kind of like becoming a girl, like being a young woman, but without like the woman in it. I was just always felt like I was operating from a masculine point. I would like, it was hard for me to deal with my emotions. I blocked out a lot of things and emotions. Like, women are emotional beings. And I didn't really feel like I was connected to that part of myself. I felt everything, but like it just wouldn't come out. And then I would be overwhelmed by emotions. I didn't know how. And I just blocked it out. And it was just ugly for me. It was ugly to me at some point. And I wouldn't even get told. Like, my mom would tell me, and my sisters, you're like, why is it so hard for you to show emotion? Da, 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 da. Why are you so cold? And I'm like, oh, I don't think so. But it, you know, but then I would step back. And then as I got older, it's like I was also a kid. But it's just now that I'm like learning that it's okay to be vulnerable. And it, you don't have to be everything everywhere all at once for everybody. Mm-hmm. You can be strong when you cry. Mm-hmm. You can be strong when you need a break. Mm-hmm. Taking a break is strength, because you're making sure you're okay. You're checking up on yourself, or you're taking a break from whatever is throwing your mind out of place. So yeah, that's just something. And what you told me in the lessons, that's something I feel like I've been thinking and feeling, but to hear it clarified and in a way more, like, you know, wiser way from you is now something I feel like it's going to be solidified in my head.
Yeah, so definitely keep that in the back of your head, because it will pop up sometimes even without you realizing it, because it's been such an innate part of you. Like, that's what you've seen growing up. That's what you've heard growing up. So it'll just be an instant reaction. And it's you coming back later on, maybe after you had a fight with your significant other or something
that's happened. Yeah, I see that sometimes.
And then you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, maybe I was a little too... Even it for me, somebody being really affectionate towards me, sometimes I'm like, I don't know how to do this.
That's very true. That's very true.
Because I'm like, yeah. You're giving me a hug. I'm like, why are you hugging me?
Yeah, oh my gosh, y'all. Because I'm a hugger. I can't lie. And
what do you want?
Like, okay, what do you need? What do you want? I can't just get a hug. Like, what did you do?
I know. I'm like, nothing. What are you buttering me up for? You're about to tell me something. Like, you're just hugging me for hugging me. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, even that. But I noticed that even with like certain crushes that I've had, like, I would go about liking a guy, trying to be a guy, like coming to them like in a masculine way. Not coming to them in a masculine way, but it's like, oh my gosh, how do I go by telling this guy I like him? I would think like a man. But, and it's like, it's not fun. Like, it don't work, y'all. Don't do that. Be a girl. Just be a girl.
But we are not thinking about boys at this stage in our lives.
Oh, why not?
Just kidding.
I'm kidding.
I'm trying to be better than my parents' generation. So yes, you are a human being with feelings. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you have had feelings for the opposite sex.
Because they exist.
Yes, they do exist.
Yeah.
That was a good question. Okay.
Score.
Look at you now running this episode today. I think Mimi's doing a great job with her episode today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you can answer this like, you know, in a fun way, but like, when you envisioned yourself as a woman, do you think that a lot of those ideas or beliefs that you, you know, were dreaming about when you were younger are not?
Nope.
No. Oh.
Not a dang one. I didn't even let you finish.
No, she
absolutely
said,
not. No.
Understandable. No.
No. That did not happen. And that's the beauty of life. Be okay with making plans, but be okay with, I'm a firm believer of God, so be okay with God's will being done. I think I've always prayed that, but it wasn't until later on in my adulthood, like towards this stage that I'm in now, that I truly understand when I say, God, your will be done, like, I have to be open to his will being done in my life. Because like I said, when I envisioned what being an adult and being successful was, I was in New York. I had a high rise apartment.
Yeah.
I was working for some great fashion magazine. Okay. You say I probably watched too much Sex in the City, but that's the thing. Actually, I think I've seen like I saw a couple of episodes, let me be honest, but like, I didn't watch the whole series. Recently, I started watching the whole series again from beginning to end. So maybe it was influenced by it a little bit, but I think at the core of it was just my idea of just what it meant to be an independent woman. And of course, I've always been like into the fashion scene, just all of that. So I envisioned that as part of my life when I grew up. And then for me, New York was like the epitome of fashion.
Where it was.
Right? Exactly. So I just knew, okay, that's a place that I would want to be. And then when I pictured my life, of course, there's a fabulous apartment attached to it because I like to decorate.
Yes. Yeah, and she does it very well.
Combining all those things together, that's probably why I pictured my life in that way. Yeah, exactly. So what happened was, you know, I met the love of my life. We started building a family. And then we're both growing too. Like we grew with each other.
Yeah.
And so when I look at my life, no, absolutely not one thing I planned happened. But I'm very happy that not one thing how I envisioned it happened. Instead, my life unfolded for me. And even now, I think that I'm at a space now, I don't do that anymore. Like, there'll be things that I'll say, okay, I want to have this or I wanted to have that. But I don't envision my life. Like, I can't sit here and tell you, oh, in 5 years from now, I want to be here in this kind of house and be doing this. Because chances are, it's probably not going to pan out that way.
Yeah, very much.
And so it's me just being grounded where I am now, learn the lessons I need to learn now. I have goals. It doesn't mean I don't have goals, but I'm not living too much in like that dream world that is not necessary.
But you can make your dreams come true.
It's not even about the dreams come true part. I wish I could put it into better words.
But I feel like I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Like your life.
You're spending so much focus on like, oh, this is what I want.
But you know,
but then sometimes then you don't see what's in front of you and the blessings that you do have. And like, yeah, my life is not going to pan out exactly like how I want. But if I look at it, it's actually better than what I want.
Yeah. Especially when you spend time in it and see and feel that this, hey, this is not so bad.
And it's not because that life I had in my head, it was fabulous. Like, yeah, I had a fabulous job. I had a fabulous apartment. I will be dressed to the nines. But where was the partner in that?
Nowhere to be found. Where was the family?
Where was the family in that? Exactly. So then if I think about it, like these are the things that are such a big part of my life now. I'm like, well, that would be great. But I'll be like, where the hell my man at? Like, where are my children at? So if it had panned out exactly how I was imagining it then, actually, it would be kind of sucky. And I think that's the message there. It's like,
been because you're a little bit empty.
Exactly.
And a little bit, a lot of it.
Sometimes when we're imagining, oh, what I want my life to be, you're already doing it because at the time I was a young girl at home, you know, with strict parents. So for me, it was this idea of like having that freedom even. So I only thought about the freedom part of like, I get to live in my high-rise apartment by myself. It's great. And then when I would have gotten there, I'd be like, I'm by myself. So
yeah, I'm alone and lonely. Oh.
In my high-rise apartment with my expensive $1,500 shoes.
Crying in your Rolls Royce. Crying in your Benz.
But I ain't got no... So I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Like, we only have certain aspirations because of where we are now. The things that we're lacking that we imagine, okay, what will my life be like when I don't have those like things holding me down? But it's not really a true depiction of what would truly make us happy. And so we should rather just say, you know what, God, decide my steps, make my path, and then give me the strength and wisdom to follow through with that which you have planned for me. That's a bigger thing to me than even the, oh, I'm imagining myself here.
Yeah.
Because that's the hard part is like when you want to go one way and God is like,
And literally where you're meant to go, like you're going to have resistance and it's going to be even harder to get what you want rather than just fall into the flow of what's meant for you.
For you. Exactly. And that should be the prayer. So that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying don't have dreams, don't have things that you aspirations that you lead towards. But is knowing that that which is meant for you will happen for you in the right time. And so what you're asking for in your life day to day is for me to have discernment to know what steps to take, how to go about it so that that which you have purpose for me in this life.
Yes.
That which you have my name marked on and stamped on and say, this is for Antonia. This is for Mimi is going to happen. And that frees you in a lot of ways. Then you're just like, you know what? This was already master planned before I came here.
Exactly.
So
when you think about it, the work is easier, y'all.
Yeah.
Just come on.
Because anything you have, you're like, I was meant to have.
Yeah.
And everything that goes away, you're like, well, it wasn't.
Well, it wasn't. It's not meant to be here.
And so, I don't know. For me, it's just been freeing.
That's beautiful. Well, to end on a fun note, what's self-care for you? Like, what do you do? What is Tony like?
Self-care. When she you already to... know I want to be pampered.
She do. But she's just like me, though. I can't lie. One and the same.
I mean, I feel like if you don't spoil yourself, you can't expect somebody else to do it for you. So like, for example, Christmas is coming up.
Yeah.
I have a list that I give, you know, okay, you can buy me things from this list. If you do, that'd be great. But I also went ahead and bought myself the things that I wanted too. Like, there's a perfume I've been wanting, Baccarat Rouge. I've bought like all the dupes of it, but I've not bought the real one. So I bought that for myself.
Beautiful.
Oh, I got like a new card holder. So I've already kind of like gotten the gifts that I want. So everything else is a plus. And this is a lesson I learned like later in my 20s, because I used to always be like, oh, well, what is this person going to get me? And then when they don't meet my expectations, then I feel bad.
Oh, yeah.
So I started like well,
I'm
why are you waiting
for whatever
for
I get though.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, mm-hmm. why are you waiting for people to do that for you? Why don't you just do it yourself? And then whatever somebody else does is like icing on the cake. Because mm-hmm. then you're like, oh, I'm just grateful that you even got me something because I yeah. got what I wanted.
It's me on.
So that's where I'm at with that. But self-care, yeah. I think getting like my hair done, mm-hmm. doing my nails. I used to do lashes, but those things are expensive.
They are.
But I probably will do them again for the holiday season just so I can look. Because I feel like I get away with not wearing makeup when I have lashes on.
What do you mean get away?
Yeah, because good. Then when you have the lashes on, then you might not have nothing else done, but it does elevate your look, your
it
face.
It does. Mm-hmm. But you're pretty.
Oh, thank
you're
you.
You're beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank
you. You're beautiful. Like you have natural lashes that curl.
These are...
Oh, I thought they were fake. I mean, they're yours.
No.
Oh.
I did them yesterday. They're Envy lashes. They're clusters. They're
individuals?
Oh. They're not individuals, but they're clusters that you just brush on the bond, and mm-hmm. then you put them on, and then you seal it, and it's just like that.
Wow. I thought they were yours. I'm like, you don't even need lashes.
Perfect.
Okay. So yeah, I do lashes. I want to get into getting massages.
Ooh.
Because I've gotten massages.
You like, seem like a massage girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want to get into like getting massages and facials.
Mm-hmm.
Because like my skin has been acting crazy. So mm-hmm. I think I do want to go see an esthetician and then have them give me like a regimen to follow and go for facials and...
So she can be flawless.
Yes.
Yes.
And I can relax.
And unwind.
What's your self-care?
Self-care. I like to make sure my hair is done. Like my hair has to be done. If my hair is not done, then I'm not happy. So that and then, well, perfect night for me. If I were to unwind, I love buying like new body care, like, you know, scrubs and everything like that. So like if I can take a nice shower as I'm listening to music as well, and then like, you know, have some nice lotion, do my lashes, make sure my hair is cute, light a candle,
mm-hmm.
put on a diffuser or a wax burner and with some nice oil
mm-hmm.
and put on something nice to watch, mm-hmm. get in my bed and sleep.
There you go.
Sleep. Mm-hmm. Yes, just sleep. Mm-hmm. But then like upkeep. I always do press on nails. I always make sure mm-hmm. my nails are somewhat done, but mm-hmm. they're not done right now, y'all. Don't put me on that. But yeah, I like buying things for myself because another thing is like, I'm very grateful if someone wants to get me something, but mm-hmm. if you get it and like what you said, is mm-hmm. not what I expected or I'm not messing with it that much, then oh well, mm-hmm. I'll take it. But
it eases so much of the, especially when you end up having a significant other,
mm-hmm.
it eases a lot of like the awkwardness that could happen. No, for real. It took me years to learn that. Because I'll be like, why are you buying this? I didn't ask for this. And I'm like, Tony, just get yourself what you want. And it doesn't mean that you're letting him off the hook. But now, once you're getting what you wanted, there's freedom there for him to be more creative. Because that's really what it is with Uncle. Like, he wants to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he'll ask for a list. Mm-hmm. And then for me, I give him a variety of things in the list. Because I want him to still feel like he has a lot of control over it or whatever.
So he picks.
So then he picks something from there. But it took years to even get to that. Because I remember so many occasions of things where I'm like, what is this?
Oh, wow. You're that person?
Yes, I am. That's what I'm saying. Auntie. Because I know myself. That's why I'm now at the place in my life where I'm like, oh, I buy myself the things that I know I like. No. And then if Lord God forbid I end up with two of something, then I'll just give the other one away.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what that says about my personality, but it's just, yeah. Because I'm like, it's very simple.
I don't know what that says about your personality either. Because
it has to be a personality thing.
I don't care. The thought of someone just giving me a gift, I don't care what it is. I'll take it. Even but if I already have it.
We had this discussion. Mariama has like this boho spirit about her.
Yeah, she keeps calling me boho.
She is so boho. She really is. She's like free spirit, fun loving, wears the flowy fabrics. Everything is from Mother Nature, Mother Earth. Like that's the vibe.
So beautiful too.
Yeah. So of course she's easygoing like that. Me, mm-hmm. I'm a little miss
structure.
So I'm like, this gift does not fall like, with, you know? But I'm getting better. That's why I feel like where I am now is a good medium.
Okay.
Because like, good. No matter what I get for Christmas, I'm going to be happy with it because, it's from the list that I gave him. But either way, the things that I had really wanted, I've already gotten for myself.
Can you give me a list? I'm a broke college student. I'm not a college student yet. But come on, I'll try my best.
Okay, I'll give you a list. There you go. I feel like that works out for everybody. Then you know I'm going to be happy with it.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, no, that's definitely. No, that works.
I'm trying to help you out.
Because I gave him my list, too. And so it's like, at least something from what I want is coming my way.
Exactly. There we go.
No
I feel like the list helps.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have an issue with the list, it says something about their personality too. Because like, why would I want to just get just whatever is on your list? Because I'm trying to help you out.
Oh, but why would you have a problem with me telling you exactly what I want?
Because, like, he used to be the type of person where he wants to be spontaneous.
Okay.
The spontaneous.
Oh, don't give me a list.
Does not work.
Spontaneity.
There you go. Mm-hmm. You got better educated than me. Girl. Yo, the spontaneity.
Oh. Oh. Did not. Excuse
the
me?
The spontaneity.
Spontaneity.
Maybe if I say it with an accent. Spontaneity. Yeah, the
spontaneity. Just being spontaneous. Yes.
It does not work for me.
I love that. Spontaneity.
Oh, no. I see. That's what I'm saying. I think it says something about my personality.
Most definitely.
Because there was a video like 3 weeks ago and I watched it online and the guy like took the entire living room and like made it into like this romantic oasis.
That's
and
cute.
Had like the tree up. Do you know what I was thinking the whole time during that video?
What?
I was like, who the hell gonna put this living room back together and how is he gonna clean up that stuff that he... I was like, oh, yeah.
Who's going to clean this up? See, well, this is nice, but.
Exactly.
And how's it going to go away?
Like, I'm sure his wife appreciated that. Like, he literally, like, took all the furniture out, redid it. I think it was around Halloween. So he made, like, a scary movie theme for them to have a date night.
So cute.
There's another one, too, that I saw. Like, he went to the pool and did, like, a movie night out by the pool. So he brought, like, all the inflatables out there. He did a screen. Like, it was, like, that part is cute. But in my personality, I'm like, so then who gonna come and
how is it gonna get back
deflated? Oh, how are we getting it back to the spot?
No.
Because in my head, I'm like, you did this nice thing for me, but now I'm gonna have to help you clean it up. So I'd rather you had not done it at all.
Oh wow!
So if you're gonna do spontaneous things like that, make sure you the cleanup is part of your spontaneous.
Oh, no, but action. That's her though. Yeah, that's definitely just.
I'm just saying
she's a little clean freak. But me, like, oh, we could keep it up for a couple of days.
Oh no, because I'll be like, when is this coming down?
Wow.
Who's taking it down?
Good to know. Good to know.
So they can do that. Like, oh, well, Cardi B is a perfect example. What? Cardi B's surprises from her husband, they give me anxiety.
Really?
Yes, because he always buys like 5 million roses.
Yes.
Spreads them all through the house.
Yes.
And when I look at it, I'm
That's
like,
beautiful.
It's beautiful, but the cleanup for that.
Wow.
But Cardi B has money, so she has people that are going to clean it up.
None of them are.
Exactly. She ain't touching none of those. But in my real life, if my husband decided to recreate that ish, I'll be like, so did you hire people to come and clean up the roses when it was done.
Wow. Yeah. So how did you feel when we did the balloons for your birthday?
That was good, but it was gone.
It was little. Yeah, they were just balloons.
That was easy. Yeah, that's easy to take care of. But think about rose petals from the beginning of the floor to the... that's a lot of work. I don't know. Somebody that's in psychology will analyze me and tell me what that says about me. But
we'll look up some tests and stuff.
Sometimes
we can do a personality test.
We can test.
No, for real, I'm an ENFP. You have a personality type.
Oh.
And you can take the woman archetype.
Oh, I just took that.
What's yours?
I'm an inguine. Is that how you say it?
Inguine? I think it's inguine. Yeah,
inguine. Inguine.
Really?
It's because of TikTok. Because I saw this girl on TikTok talking about it. So I was like, let me take it. And it says Rihanna is one.
Yes. Madonna.
Name some other people.
Marilyn Monroe. I was like,
okay. Yeah, Marilyn Monroe is one.
Yeah, Rihanna's
one. Yeah.
Mine is gaming. Janet Jackson, Josephine Baker.
What are they?
Audrey Hepburn.
Huh? What are they? Like, what is that one?
That one's like the free-spirited girls, like the lighthearted, and they get to people through like connection and their kind of innocent spirit and humor and just everything's just fun, you know? Yeah. What, you finna look it up?
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, because for mine, I just saw the people that it said I have it, like, and then I guess at the instance of what it was saying was, like, we have, like, a little girl in us, like, kind of thing.
Oh,
but
really?
Then we're also kind of edgy. Oh, okay.
Mine is often boyish, elegant young woman who is or perceived to be mischievous or teasing, playful.
Yeah, you're definitely playful.
Thank you.
Like yesterday when you were poking everybody and they didn't appreciate it.
Oh my gosh. I just love doing things like that. Well, not the fact that they don't appreciate it.
It's ingenue.
Ingenue.
I am a little ingenue.
Ingenue.
Oh, okay. I'm an ingenue. Ingenue myself.
Oh, Princess Diana was one.
Again. Was it ingenue?
No. Gaming.
Oh.
The gammon. Natural charm and playful. Gammon. Oh, this is perfect. Natural charm and playful spirit lowers defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A screwball. I would describe myself as a screwball.
Oops.
Like, y'all, it's just fun to be fun.
Diana Ross is an ingenue, too. Yeah, it says,
The lover.
Unexpected mix of girlish charm and womanly sensuality. I do feel like the sensuality is part. I feel like I don't try to be, but whatever.
Really?
You but know? Yeah, I have the maiden in there and then the lover. It's the maiden and the lover
mixed combined. Together.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That gives you the ingenue. I'm just going to be saying that now. I just like to say
it. Mine has to be said different then, because it's a French word too. Grand mine, gain. I'm not even going to try. I took French, but.
I know. I didn't realize it was a French word. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I was like, my engine.
My engineer.
Oh, ingenue.
Ingenue.
Gamin.
Gamin.
That's what gamin. Yours is. Yours is gamin.
Gamin.
And mine is ingenue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, that's, see, that's perfect. That's fitting for this episode.
Yeah.
Yes, ingenue. Miss ingenue.
From now on, you'll refer to me as Antonia L'ingenue.
Oh my gosh.
Well, actually, in French, don't you say l'ingenue? Because l'ingenue. Once there's a A there, you don't pronounce the A.
The A, no. Yeah. If it's a
l'ingenue.
L'ing. Because it's not. Le, and an L apostrophe.
Ooh. Okay. Somebody took French too.
No, I actually did.
Okay, so comment ça va?
Ça va bien. Et toi?
Comme si, comme ça. I don't know how to say stress.
I don't know what's...
I've eaten my French a little bit.
I don't know what that means. I don't know how to say stressed.
À quelle heure est-ce que tu avais travail?
I don't remember. I don't remember how to say 1 o'clock.
I don't remember the time.
Mm-mm. Two.
Deux heures. Yeah, I was there. I'm like, it's going to be...
No. En deux, deux heures.
No, un is...
Oh,
please.
Deux.
They don't know our own language.
That's what I'm saying.
Just say it with a French accent, if you know what I mean.
I have to be at work at 2 o'clock.
There we go.
This podcast is very much fun. I don't want to leave, but I have to.
Yeah.
Because America makes me work.
America.
America. We switched to a British accent.
Yeah, the British accent is much easier
to do. It's much easier to my more fun.
You, it's just...
Can you imagine if we were British and we had this podcast? It would be just like things I always listen to.
I think so. Okay. So we should probably end this podcast. Brought to you today by Antonia.
Wait, we have to do our music.
Oh, our song of the week.
Mm-hmm. Song of the week.
Oh my gosh. So many new good songs came out. Mayam already talked about one that I'm sure is going to be hers.
I love Beyonce. So
you love Beyonce. Say,
okay, fine. I'll put My House.
My House by Beyonce.
Giselle.
Okay, maybe Giselle. We'll have to start making like a Spotify list of our songs.
Oh, yes, that's so true. Mm-hmm. Wait, but please. Okay, wait. I love My House, but I can't make that mine. There's a song that it's by a tribe called Quest. It's called Electric Relaxation. It came up from my like songs the other day, and I was listening to it while I was doing my makeup. And I was like, wow, this is a really good song. And then I listened to that album, and it was really good. So A Tribe Called Quest, Electric Relaxation
okay.
is my song.
That's your song?
Yes, ma'am.
My song is another week of Arya Star. I don't know what's happening
wow.
to me. I know.
Whoa.
But David Guetta. Remember how I say Guetta, but it's Guetta. I know it's Guetta, but I just like to say Guetta.
David Guetta. Yeah, I say David Guetta.
David Guetta. I know. I say Guetta. I don't know why I like to say the U.
He's such a...
David Guetta. Guy. Already. First of all, if you know me, you know I like EDM music. So
yeah,
I'm like, EDM music. And then you put an Afrobeats artist and then Lil Durk.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yes. It's called F U.
Oh.
I'm telling you.
It's called what?
It's called F U. F U. But yes. So David Guetta, Arya Star, and Lil Durk.
Oh wow.
My gosh. I had that on replay.
That's a collab. That's like a combo of people I would have never.
I was like, how in the world? They need to tell the backstory of how this collaboration happened. Because I need to know what had happened and who had brought it together. Because when I heard the song, I was like, damn, this is good. So of course, I could not add it to my playlist. So that's on my playlist right now. And honorable mention will be My House by Beyonce.
Period.
Because when I heard that one too, I was like, I already love Who Let the Dogs Out My House?
Yes. And then she
was yelling. And then we got to the second part. I know. I was like, yes, that's me. Get up. Out my house. Out of
my house. Don't give up. Go by my house. Then get the up out my house. And then she's like, don't make me get up out of my seat. Don't make me. And I was like, get up out of my seat. But I was driving, you know. I was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah, please don't get up out of the seat.
Yeah.
Giselle, you snapped on that one. I mean, I feel like Giselle was rapping on that. She was singing on that.
She was screaming, singing.
Melodic. That's your number does, you know?
Oh, what was... Oh. You should have recorded the song yourself.
I know.
Okay.
Miss Giselle, you came through, okay?
She did. She always
I didn't know I needed that song until I heard the song.
No,
and now
real.
I can't do without the song.
Oh my gosh, I knew it was produced by her. She produced it. Beyonce.
She did?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And somebody else, but it was just her and somebody else who produced
it. Okay, Beyonce.
All right, girl. And it sounds very much like her.
Yeah, Giselle, you snapped on that one. So you got it.
Mm-hmm. You ate.
I might have to do a TikTok to that song. I'm just saying. and be like,
"You made me get up out of my seat.
This house.
I blew up in this. I grew up in this. Give up about my house. Then get the up about my house."
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. And we hope that this episode was
beautiful and amazing.
As it was to us.
Refreshing, rejuvenating, fun, electric, energetic.
All of it.
All of the above.
All of it.
All of it.
Yeah, they like to say all. All of it.
All of the topics covered today.
Yes, we did.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Thank you all for listening to Banter with
Antonia.
Oh, wow.
When I have a British accent, I must say my name.
Yeah, Antonia.
Antonia. And Maymay.
Maymay, can you come over here? And Antonia, yours is way better. Maymay.
Yeah, true.
Maymay.
If you're going to have an accent and say somebody's name that's from another culture, still say it right.
Say it right, yeah.
And please, when we are talking about accents, before I go, these African people that are reading news, and you are from the continent of Africa, please,
just listen.
We came to listen to the news. We didn't come here for you to do accent exercise. Save us and save yourself. Yesterday, I was listening to somebody talk about the issue going on in Sierra Leone, and I spent more time trying to understand why he had this accent than me paying attention to the damn news. Okay? He was on here talking about in Sierra Leone. First of all, it's Sierra Leone. Okay?
What? He said what?
I don't know what the heck he did. Sierra Leone.
Sir.
Sierra. Sierra Leone. Well, you can just say Salon. Either way.
You are Sierra Leonean.
Say it Salon. With the correct accent. You don't see somebody, it's Kwame Nkrumah. It's Kwame Nkrumah.
Kwame.
Okay?
Kwame.
Kwame. And then he was trying to say the last name of the lady, Dumbuya, which actually is a very typical name.
Dumbuya.
But you are even trying to speak Dumbuya. Why are we trying to speak Dumbuya? It's Dumbuya, not Dumboya. What the heck is that?
What are you trying to do?
Stop. Please.
What a headache.
I love listening to my African news, but I need y'all to stop with the accent exercises. Pronounce the words how they should be pronounced.
Just
we are African, so please say it the correct way and stop trying to speak our names and how we call things. Like, nah.
No.
Quiet. Well, keep quiet. We all went to school. We all have education. We know how to say things. You're not impressing us here with your fake accent.
At all.
But I love you guys. But I just had to say that. Stop. Please. You guys are hurting us.
PSA.
Yes. You know what the funniest word is that I actually love the Nigerian accent of saying it? Cucumber.
What do they say?
Cucumber.
Cucumber. They say it like that. Jamaicans say it like that too. Cucumber.
I had some cucumber juice. I'm like,
cucumber juice. I like cucumber in my salad.
I like the Nigerian cucumber. Accent of saying it. Cucumber.
Don't we say
cucumber.
Like that?
Do we say? No, cucumber. We don't say cucumber.
Cucumber.
We they say cucumber? I mean, no.
What do you say? How do you say it?
But this we place, say, I want cucumber. Yeah, we they say cucumber. Q.
Oh,
we say Q. You cucumber. Want cucumber.
Cucumber.
And they put cucumber in the salad. That's what you go say that one.
Cucumber.
Day. Yeah, this is cucumber. Creole that we're talking.
Cucumber.
For those who don't know.
Yes, it's Creole. Best language on the planet. Ay,
so, my ma sabi for talk Creole.
Yes,
you sabi?
I sabi.
Okay, good. Even me say why they talk and so now. Possibly where they na tongue now, then go say I don't sabi Creole. So
yeah, I feel like that's, I'm subjective. Scared when I go. I'm going to be scared they're going to make fun of me.
It's part of it. Like, us being in diaspora, we're not going to say things. And then we don't know all the slangs, too. Like, slangs have changed since when I left. So somebody could be saying something, but it wasn't even part of the vocabulary when I was younger.
Wow.
And I wouldn't understand what they're saying.
I can only imagine.
Now, so would they left auntie today. So please, if they read news, I take God beg you. What is Sierra Leone? I take God beg you. I beg you.
Beg. And they beg.
Make you they pronounce the word in the correct way how they pronounce it. No, they can't. So they can't speak English per week. Not to you, Angus, I be English. We say, we sabi am. We sabi English. What we ready for talking?
Yourself,
talk
you know they understand.
But when they say Dumbuya, I need you for say Dumbuya the correct way. Thank you.
Please and thank you. Thank you. Take God, thank you.
Yes, please and thank you.
All right, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Ta-ta. Arrivederci.
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 We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
You just finished another episode of Banta with Tony and Mimi. We just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to our podcast. Have a blessed one.